This episode is brought to you by AutoTrader.ca. Shopping for a car can sometimes leave you feeling a bit on edge. Because how do you really know if you're getting a great price or not? Easy. You use the AutoTrader app. AutoTrader compares and rates millions of cars using live market pricing. They let you know when the price of a car is great, good, fair, or above average. So you can feel confident you're getting a great car at a great price. Get the AutoTrader app today.
Well, it was last year. I don't remember the exact date. I could look it up. But last year, when we covered a story on this radio station, on this show, about a woman who got a dog during the pandemic, and like many other people, got the dog, was working from home, was looking for companionship. The dog was a puppy. The puppy grew and grew and ended up exceeding the strata limits on heights. She ended up selling her condo and moving. This is a similar case, but not quite the same. Earlier, I think I alluded to the fact this was another case of a dog growing past the strata requirements. It's not. This is a 13-year-old dog, but the strata now says this dog is too tall and needs to be removed. So we are joined by the owner of the dog, Jackie Clark, and animal law lawyer, Rebecca Bretter. Thanks, both of you, for coming on the program today.
Thank you for having us.
Jackie, I want to start with you. You sent me a picture of your dog, and full disclosure, I think everyone knows I'm a huge dog lover. What a beautiful, beautiful dog. This is a 13-year-old. She looks to be a black lab?
Yes, she is.
So what has happened then? She's 13, so she's not had any growth spurts in the recent past. What's going on with the strata?
So what happened is 3 years ago, we bought this townhouse in Walnut Grove, and we signed off on the measurements for the dog because it said that she needed to be 16 inches at the shoulder. And we measured her 16 inches to the top of her leg. But right before we did like a month of rentals to the house, and just before we were actually going to move in, somebody said something to us, and it was something about that they measure at the back of the neck on the dog, not like the withers on a horse. It's not on the leg. It's on the back of the neck. Well, we remeasured our dog, and she's 4 inches higher than at the shoulder. And we were told almost, we didn't quite know what to do. So we wrote a letter, and we went to our management company for the strata. And we were just going to drop the letter off. We ended up speaking with someone there, and we were told to move in. They said, move in. Keep your head down. The dog will be fine, and everything will be great. Don't worry about it. So that's exactly what we did. And we had moved in only a matter of a couple of days, and our dog barked at someone who was walking by our backyard. One bark. That was it. And there was a complaint. And the strata came, and they do like a welcome greet, and they come and welcome us. And we were told right then that the dog was too big and she had to go. It was kind of devastating for us because we love this community and we love this complex. We just love it. So we put our house up for sale. We contacted a lawyer. We've been paying fines for... it's in the thousands of what we've paid in fines. And we're actually also not on property more than almost 6 months out of the year. But when we got home on April 1st, within a week, we got a letter saying that they're going to start fining us every 7 days, not just every month. So I'm retired. We can't afford this. So it's just been a roller coaster ride for us. And the problem is that we love this place. We don't want to move. And we did get an offer on our house before COVID, but it was well below market value, and we couldn't afford to take a huge loss. So we're stuck.
Let's bring Rebecca in on this, because Rebecca, I know you've dealt with similar situations. So where do you think the breakdown is here? Is it the clarity over how you measure the height of a dog? Is it the fact that they were told to move in and then there was a complaint? How do you break all of this down?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And this is a classic example of how you have two key issues. One being how a person who's about to move in and bought a strata is with good-hearted, good intentions, talking to the strata management company, being totally open and honest, and then the strata management company going, oh yeah, don't worry about it, just move in. And then so like Jackie and her husband did, they relied on that statement, now to their detriment. So that I see that quite often, relying on strata management's word that everything will be okay, and then they turn around later saying, oh, well, no, we never said that, and it's not okay. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that the bylaw itself, I read these bylaws. So Jackie and I and her husband, we talked yesterday about this. And I read the bylaws, and the bylaws just talk about that the maximum height of any pet is 16 inches at the shoulder. Doesn't talk about how to measure or any of that, and the rest of the bylaw is pretty vague, and that particular provision too. It would be one thing if the bylaw actually told people how to measure their animal. It's another thing when it just says maximum height at 16 inches, not to mention it's totally arbitrary. Like, what's the why? So, I mean, in this case, what Jackie didn't mention also is that other than that one barking incident, which was like, what dog doesn't bark seriously when someone walks by your place? There have been absolutely no incidents with this dog. This is a lovely, gentle, friendly dog. They're away for 6 months of the year also. They're not bothering anyone. And not only are they not bothering, but they're are kind-hearted people in that complex who don't even really know them, but they took it on to start a petition going around to residents and getting residents to help them out and to try and appeal this bylaw. So really, what it comes down to in this particular case and in many cases like this is that you have to take a close look at if you relied on a strata property management statement. And they, even if it's not in writing, orally, if they actually told you it's going to be okay, be careful. But they have a strong case. Jackie has a strong case here because they relied on the strata's statements to their detriment. And the bylaws themselves suck. I mean, they are so vague that to the point that they're unenforceable.
Well, and that's what I was thinking. And every time we talk about this, and I'm sure we will get calls and email the point too, people saying you should have known the rules, you should have followed the rules, so you can't do this and then claim that you didn't know. But in this case, what does seem different is the measurement, because if someone was to say measure your arm to the shoulder, that doesn't mean measure your arm to the back of your neck. Is there not some, if it's unclear, could they not say our dog is 16 inches to the shoulder?
Yeah, of course they can. And it's up to the strata. I think the strata is going to know here once, we're let's just say we are exploring our legal options. So I wasn't the lawyer that Jackie mentioned before. I never would have advised to pay the fines. But so we're certainly exploring our legal options because this is such, it's a heartbreaking case and it's totally unfair for someone like Jackie and her husband and their dog.
So, Jackie, have there been any other issues other than the one time the dog barked?
No, not at all. She's kind and gentle. We've never had an issue anywhere with her. And I want to put in that we were feeling very, like we were the troublemakers here and everybody was kind of, thinking, like you said, that we had moved in knowing what we were doing and we were just trying to push the system kind of deal. And we found out since, a lot of, especially in the last month, that the majority of people here seem to be sympathetic to us and think that she's a lovely dog and that there shouldn't be an issue. It should be the animal's temperament, not the size.
Right, exactly. Can I jump in and say one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when you live in a condominium complex, and every condominium complex has bylaws, the overall purpose of having those bylaws is to ensure that people living in close quarters can get along and that people aren't interfering with each other's use and enjoyment of each other's properties. And that's fundamentally what matters. And this is why cases like this drive me nuts. Because here we have a 13-year-old dog who hasn't caused any problems, totally sweet. And Jackie and her husband and her dog are not interfering with anyone's use and enjoyment of their property. And really, that's what ultimately matters. Not this ridiculous bylaw that says no pet can be taller than 16 inches at the shoulder, and it doesn't even tell you how to measure that.
Is there a concern, and I'm just trying to take the other side on this, is there a concern, though, if the strata was to let this go, that somebody could move in next month or 5 months from now with a dog that's taller than 16 inches that is a nuisance dog and say, well, too bad, you're letting them stay here with their dog that's 20 inches, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I get what the strata is trying to do. It's their job to enforce the bylaws as best as they can and in a uniform way. But at the same time, and there's always a but, is that you have to use common sense. And sometimes exceptions are made. And like I said, fundamentally what this comes down to is there unreasonable interference with someone else's use and enjoyment of their property? No, there isn't. And not to mention that, like I said, their bylaw in this regard absolutely sucks because it's very vague.
So, Jackie, you mentioned you and your husband have paid the thousands of dollars in fines. You attempted to sell the place. So what do you do now at this point?
I don't know.
We are exploring. Let's just say we're exploring our legal options right now.
Do you think, Rebecca, there needs to be a bigger conversation? Because this comes up as well, not just height and unclear rules on how to measure a dog, but it's been one of the topics as well. Even stratas that have size requirements or a lot of them have weight requirements, the dog can't be more than 30 pounds or 25 pounds, which has never really made sense to me, because you can have a problem dog that weighs 12 pounds. You can have a Great Dane that's the sweetest dog on the planet.
Yeah, exactly. I know. And that's why those types of bylaws are really arbitrary. And I think I've said it before to you and at other times that bylaws like this, like whether it's height or weight, let's talk about weight for a second. So you have a bylaw that says you can't have a dog that weighs more than 30 pounds. You give that dog a little bit too many doggy treats and he gains 5 or 10 pounds. Then what, you're going to remove the dog because he's a bit overweight because he had too many dog treats? Yet you have these chihuahuas that are barky and aggressive and bite people's ankles and bite other dogs, and they're fine just because they're like, you know, 15 pounds. Again, it really comes down to, and this is what we all have to keep in mind, is are the neighbors being neighborly? Are they interfering with the use and enjoyment of someone else's property? That's really what it comes down to. And ultimately, I won't be surprised if our laws in the next several years change in order to not allow pet prohibitions and bylaws like these.
All right. Well, we'll be waiting to see what happens with this case. Thanks to both of you so much for coming on. And let us know if there is any resolution to this. Again, we'll be watching for that. Thank you.
Thanks, Jill.
A gunman on the loose in a quiet coastal town. By morning, 22 people were dead. I'm Sarah Ritchie. I live in Halifax, and I'm a reporter for Global News. On my new podcast, 13 Hours, Inside the Nova Scotia Massacre, we'll examine every hour of this tragedy to try and piece together what happened and what could have been done to prevent it. You can listen to 13 Hours, Inside the Nova Scotia Massacre for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.